Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Email drivetime@rte.ie.
The Department of Education has written to all schools to advise them to stop using a further 52 sanitisation products. Well, for more on this, I'm joined by Catherine Donnelly, Education Editor with the Irish Independent. And Catherine, this follows the withdrawal of the ViroPro products, which were that happened on the 23rd of October. That actually resulted in the closure of some schools and the withdrawal of antiviral products. So what has happened now?
It did. The ViroPro, that hand gel was there were concerns about its safety. What's happened now is, on foot of that, the Department of Education asked the Department of Agriculture to conduct a review of all the products on the register, on the list, I should say, that's available to schools. Schools were able to access a range of products through a sort of a central procurement list. And that was over the weekend. They asked them to do that. And I don't know whether the Department of Agriculture extended it beyond what the Department of Education asked it to do. I think it may have. So today, as you said, the Department has written to principals and it has advised that another 52 products are being removed from the list. Now, they are making the point that there's nothing, they've no information to say that any of these products are unsafe, but it seems that they're not properly registered with the Department of Agriculture, as they must be if they're to be, you know, included on this list for use across the public service. So, like, it's very unsatisfactory for the schools that got the midterm break off to a very bad start last week. And
what type of products are we talking about here?
Well, it's things like more hand sanitizers, gels, soaps, detergent. It seems to be mainly hand sanitizing products, wipes as well. Yeah, there's 43 of them are biocidal products, and then there are 9 other products. But they tend to be the hand sanitizers and soaps and wipes. Yeah.
So as you say, this is not a message to say that they are unsafe. They just don't really know because they're not registered as to whether or not they are perfectly safe. Do we know yet how many schools have these products?
We don't, because the principals are only getting that email now in the last hour or so, I understand. So there's a helpline open for schools tonight, late tonight, all day tomorrow and over the weekend to allow them to get support and to place orders for alternative supplies if they need them. So it's going to be a busy weekend for lots of school principals. What they have to do now is check what they've bought and look at this list. The department has issued two lists, one of the products that have been removed from the register and also a list an updated list of approved products. So principals this evening now will have to sit down and look at those lists and see, whether they need to order alternative supplies.
And I assume they will be provided with funding if they do have to replace the products?
The department has said extra funding will be available, but I suppose if we're looking at, I mean, 172 items were subject to review over the past week, and more than 50 of those are being removed. So I think we can take it that an awful lot of schools will be affected by this.
All right. Well, the Department of Education has, as you mentioned, Catherine, a school's COVID-19 helpline on 057-932-4461. That is open until 8:30pm on Thursday and from 8am on Friday until 8pm and from 10am to 5pm Saturday and Sunday. They will try and get it obviously fixed before Monday. For now, Catherine Donnelly, Education Editor with the Irish Independent. Thank you very much.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
Well, as we were discussing earlier in the programme, the Department of Education has written to all schools to advise them to stop using a further 52 sanitisation products. Well, for more on this, I'm joined now by the Minister for Education, Norma Foley. And Minister, thank you very much for joining us this evening. So we hear the news today, 52 more sanitising products withdrawn. This follows the withdrawal of the unsafe ViroPro products on the 23rd of October. That resulted in the closure of some schools. What is happening?
Well, thank you, Sarah, and I appreciate having the opportunity maybe to explain a little bit as to where we're at this point. You are correct that we have written to principals advising them of changes to the approved list of products on the education sector PPE framework. And this, and could I just say at this point that I want to acknowledge that we are in the middle of the midterm break, that this notification has gone to principals in the midst of their very well-earned midterm break. And I really do regret that, the midterm break did have to be interrupted. And I appreciate the huge amount of work that has been undertaken throughout the long summer months and indeed the last number of weeks by principals and by school teams the length and breadth of the country. But just to explain how we came to this point, the position we're in now is a consequence, really, as you have referenced, of ViroPro products being withdrawn by the department last week. And that they were withdrawn really due to their efficacy and use and concerns in that regard. However, what we're at now is a technical licensing issue, because on foot of what happened last week, my department conducted a review of all of the products that are available on our PPE framework. And just to explain, to be eligible to be on the framework, companies were required to meet three requirements, and that would be that they could confirm compliance with EU and Irish regulations, that the product would be currently in use and not a product that they were hoping to process into the future, and finally they had to provide material or information in relation to whom they had previously provided their products and what products that they had provided to them. So during the review it became apparent to us that all of our providers had met these requirements, but on closer examination, when we looked at the certification and registration aspects, it became clear that some of the suppliers met some or all of the requirements. For example, they were required to have an EU number, a PCF, which would be an Irish number, or a derogation. Now, some of them met some of those requirements or a combination of those requirements, but in discussion with the Department of Agriculture, the department were keen that there would be an Irish there would be an Irish certification registration. And in the products where we found that the suppliers hadn't provided that particular certification, we have removed those from our framework. And just as I said, from a technical licensing point of view, there is nothing to indicate that these products are unsafe. It is just we're affording these suppliers the opportunity to regularise that that registration.
All right, so when did the Department of Agriculture decide that these products had to have an Irish certificate registration?
Well, as I said, when the framework was being put together, there was all were written to, and they had to confirm that they were eligible for the framework and that they were in compliance with EU and Irish.
So this was always the case from the outset. Okay,
that they would be in compliance with EU and Irish regulations.
Okay, so who didn't check that all the products that applied to be on the framework weren't eligible for it? Who didn't check that?
Well, I suppose I should say that we did have a multidisciplinary evaluation team to review the tender process and to put together the framework. And it was acceptable that, one or other or a combination of the certificates would or registrations would be provided. And that, as I say, would be an EU number being provided, a PCS Irish number, or a derogation. But as the review was carried out on this occasion with the regulator has requested that there would be an Irish number or PCS being made available.
I suppose, Minister, I'm just trying to clarify, has the regulator changed the rules now, or were the rules always the rules?
Well, I suppose to be fair, Sarah, I think there was maybe perhaps a confusion or an inconsistency there from the suppliers as to what exactly was required. And I think you would be conscious as well that the Department of Agriculture as regulator has also issued their own statement this evening. And we would be aware that, the suppliers are in a similar position in other organisations and retail outlets the length and breadth of the country. So there was perhaps a lack of clarity around, the requirement in terms of the PCS.
All right, so I'm trying to figure out how we got to where we are. Where did the lack of clarity come from? Was it clear to the people who were applying to have their products sold under this framework that they needed to have an Irish registration and an EU registration from the outset? Was that made clear to them?
Well, it's my understanding that there was a number of aspects to it. As I said, the EU number, the PCS Irish number, and the derogation.
Okay, so that was made clear to them, yes?
It was viewed that one or a combination of them would be acceptable, would be my understanding. But it would now seem clear from the department as regulator that they are specifically asking for an Irish registration.
Okay, so initially it was one or a combination, and now they have to have an Irish one. So is it the department's regulator who has changed the rules then?
No, I'm saying, I suppose, in the interest of clarity, the department have clarified that this is what they're looking for. We have gone to those that are on our framework, and many of them have provided it. I think it's very important to say that.
Okay.
But those that haven't are being given the opportunity to regularise that position with the regulator and with the Education Procurement Service
also.
Okay,
well, let's just focus on what's going to happen then in the next couple of days, because right now these products have to be recalled. Can you give a guarantee to the schools who have been using them that they are safe, that this is simply a technical issue?
Well, what I can say to you, and the Department of Agriculture have confirmed this in their own release this evening, that there is no evidence to suggest that these products are not safe. What we're looking at here is at a technical licensing issue.
Okay.
And again, just to say, in terms of our schools and all of that, there remain 120 products to be drawn down on our framework. And we've also put procedures in place to assist our principals in terms of we have a helpline available, which is available tonight until 8:30, all day tomorrow from 8 until 8:30 again on Saturday and on Sunday. And equally so, we're making aid workers available to support the work of the principals. And if any principal is having difficulty in accessing products, they contact the department directly, and we will ensure that we will get in contact directly with the suppliers and that the supply will be put in place in time for the schools.
All right, so you would expect that there should be no incident where a school, even though tomorrow is Friday, after a bank holiday week, that a school from Friday wouldn't be able to get a replacement of a sufficient supply of sanitising products by Monday?
Well, I suppose I should say, Sarah, and I mean this sincerely, I am under no illusions that this is not an ideal situation for the schools or indeed for the school leaders. But equally so, I must say that, you know, when the information came to me and came to my domain, I think it was very important that in the best interests of the children and the young adults that we serve in the school, and indeed all those who work in the schools, that I would put in place measures that need to be put in place. And so, although not ideal, I believe in the round it is the right decision. And, you know, we have been very fortunate with the excellent cooperation of all school leaders and all staff and all those within the school sector to this point. And I regret very much that it's during their midterm.
Sure, and you have made that point.
Confident that they will,
you're saying it's not
help.
Ideal. Gary Gannon from the Social Democrats says it's absolutely ridiculous. It's devastating, he says, for school morale and confidence. Eoghan Reardon from the Labour Party is calling for you to appear before the Education Committee. Sinn Féin's education spokesman, Donnacha O'Leary, is wondering how this could have happened. How did so many faulty products now? I know you're disputing the fact that it's faulty, but he's wondering how they could have fallen through the gap. Fiasco after fiasco is what some people would say, Minister. How can people have confidence in how the system is being run?
Well, I wouldn't accept that at all. I think it is far from that. I think there is confidence in the system when it becomes very clear and becomes obvious, when information is made available. And indeed, in terms of last week, we took the initiative to conduct the review. And when the review was completed and it seemed that there were, as I have outlined to you, technical licensing issues, immediately we took the proactive action to inform our principals to put in place a very secure line of products. We have entered into discussions with all of our suppliers, and they're very confident that they have sufficient supplies and that they have the network to ensure that they get to the schools. I think it would be a poor reflection on us if the information was available and we did nothing with it.
Okay, how much money has been wasted in terms of these products?
You act proactively.
Can you tell us how much money or how much funding was spent in terms of acquiring these products that don't have the Irish registration?
Well, what I can say to you is it doesn't apply to all of the products. It applies to some of the products. There's only a number of products that actually have been removed at this point from the framework. And can I say that in terms of making funding available, funding is also available to schools to draw down new products. So it's not possible for me to name exactly how much at this point, because we're talking about just a small percentage of the products from the overall number of products that are actually being removed.
Would you have a ballpark first? Would it be 10 million, 5 million, 100 million?
No, I couldn't give you that figure at the minute. I couldn't.
Can I just ask you separately, Minister, while we have you there, about COVID transmission in schools? Because the HSE has said today that transmission rates remain very reassuring, but there is a lot of confusion about COVID transmission in schools. The ASTI were talking about this yesterday. Can you tell us, I suppose, firstly, what is the definition of a close contact in a school? Teachers saying they just don't know what the definition of a close contact is in a school. Is it the pupils in a pod, in a bubble, in the year, in the school? What is it?
I think, to be fair, that's an assessment that's made by public health on a school-to-school individual basis. Public health has been very clear to say that no two schools are the same, no two classrooms will be the same, so that they adjudicate the situation on a case-by-case basis. It depends on the circumstances within the classroom, it depends on what precautions are in place, it depends on, you know, what is happening at that time. And I would accept that they are best placed, because of their expertise, to make that adjudication at the time. But equally to say to you, that they have reiterated, and indeed all experts are reiterating, that schools by their nature are indeed safe places. And equally so, we have been told, for example, that even at this point, 85% of our schools have had no engagement with public health. It wasn't required. You know, so in the main, we have 4,000 schools with 100,000 staff and 1 million pupils. And I think that's a statistic in itself that speaks volumes about the work that has gone on in the schools to ensure that the schools are safe environments. And it's a tribute to those who work in the schools to have achieved that.
Okay, just one or two of the texts in relation to this. Minister, a tired school principal says, just the minister expect school principals to spend their weekend sorting this out for free so that schools can reopen on Monday. Principals need this week to refresh after a stressful 3 months getting schools safely open. Another person says schools become a 24/7, 365 day a year job. No break or rest in any way since March 12th for school teachers or leaders. I expect the next few days will be mental for school leaders and their staff, and no one will see it or realise it. It's very frustrating with the efforts schools are making. And I know you have said that you recognise the issues that schools are facing. We'll have to leave it there. Minister for Education, Norma Foley, thank you very much for joining us.